We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
And now, Chuck and Winkler. Two townies talking Wisconsin sports. Covering nothing but your favorite teams. Live from the Bryant and Stratton College Athletic Studios, this is Chuck and Winkler on Sports Radio 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman. David Stearns, about an hour ago, used the rewind feature on the radio.com app, or it's posted for you, 105.7fmthefan.com. He joined us. John Horst coming up at 8:45. You know, they have the chance, the Bucks do, to offer him the Supermax this summer, Giannis, that is. Do you see Giannis saying, thanks for the offer, but I'm going to play out this season? Or do you see him signing it as soon as he can?
Well,
I know everybody got riled up about him mentioning Los Angeles the other day.
I would think, okay, now, if he's true to his word that he wants to stay in Milwaukee, he loves it here, and he wants to be on a NBA championship contender, you would think that, okay, you know, as soon as he's eligible, which is in 2020 right here, that he would sign that $250 million Supermax. So if he doesn't sign it, if the Bucks came to him and said, here, Giannis, here's 5 years, $250 million, and he says, not so fast, then wouldn't he be contradicting everything he has said about wanting to stay here and be here long term?
These guys want to be wined and dined. I think he goes in as a free agent and he'll take some meetings. Everybody will freak out. He'll ultimately decide to stay in Milwaukee. I mean, Tom Brady's going to do the same thing. He loves the attention. The Raiders give him a call. 2 years for $60 million? Yeah, I'll consider that. Hell no, he ain't going to play his final 2 years for John Gruden in Las Vegas. I think these guys want to be wined and dined. I think he'll take some meetings, but that's just me.
Yeah, I mean, we like to think Giannis is different, you know, I mean, because he's turned down movie appearances and all that. And, you know, but, I mean, are really all these guys, like you're saying there, Horvy, are they all wanted to be wined and dined and...
We thought Anthony Davis was different, too.
But there's no bargaining power for Giannis. I mean, it was like the Bucks are bidding against anybody. The Bucks say, here's the maximum contract. Here's what we're going to do for you. You can either take it or, you know, I mean, if you don't want it, what can the Bucks do? Bucks can't wine and dine him. They already have everything. They got a winning franchise. Got the players he wants around him. And he's going to get paid the highest player in the NBA. What more does he want?
When Giannis came out this week and said, I'd like to play with my brothers, whether it's Milwaukee or L.A., that's all they've been talking about in Los Angeles on Sports Talk out there. What did you guys talk about regarding that?
I don't even know why he would say that, though. Why would he even put L.A. in there?
Well, his brother plays there. Kostas is part of the Lakers organization.
But if he says he doesn't, but he's already talked about that. He likes Milwaukee.
So he either was just throwing his brother a bone and making sure that his brother, you know, wasn't forgotten, or the other thing, which is, I don't even want to speak it into existence.
Are his brothers even going to be in the league in 2 years? I mean, like, no offense, but I mean, we're not going to employ the whole family.
Like,
They may have to.
We can. That's fine, but I don't think they are in L.A.
When they signed Thanasis, did he really? I mean, the guy was nice guy.
He started a game this year.
What's that?
He has a start this year
on Greek night.
Get a dunk.
That was a special night. It was Greek night, and he started.
We had Keith Smith on NBC Sports, Yahoo Sports. He's like the next big thing NBA writer. He said kind of the same thing. He's like, they could dream all they want in Los Angeles, because I tuned into LA radio yesterday, and every single topic on both of their big stations was Giannis coming to LA. I'm talking like the full 4 hour shows. They're all in on Giannis. And Keith said it yesterday. He's like, no offense, guys, you could dream all you want, but you got LeBron, you got Anthony Davis on the books. If he's going to sign an extension after this year, you're not going to be able to afford Giannis. You know who concerns me? Is that little weasel Steph Curry. and Golden State and Steve Kerr and Klay Thompson. If anything, if I'm Giannis, and I wouldn't leave Milwaukee, I would stay here, and I think he'll be the same way.
How are they affording him?
Well, they always. How did they afford Kevin Durant? They'll always find a way. They will always find a way. But if I was going to leave Milwaukee, that's where I'd go if I was Giannis. Imagine that fit, pick and pop with Steph Curry, Klay Thompson. You got Draymond there.
But then he'd get buried the same way that Kevin Durant did.
Kevin got his points there.
He got his rings.
No, buried like by the fans.
Title chasing.
Okay, I thought you meant by the teammates.
That's why I don't think Giannis will leave.
No, Kevin Durant won them two titles.
He did. He did. No,
they don't win those without him.
Let's say he went to Los. Let's say Giannis went to Los Angeles, or he went to Golden State, or he went to anywhere, New York. I don't know. He left here after everything he said about the Bucks. What do you think his first game like in Milwaukee would be?
They'd boo the hell out of him.
Well, it depends. If the Bucks win with him, he can do whatever the hell he wants. Honestly,
not if he leaves.
If the Bucks win with him, I don't care what he does.
Like if he did the Kawhi thing where he won and then left, I don't think he would.
Same
do
with
that,
LeBron
though.
In Cleveland.
Because then I would boo him because then he would have been I'd consider him a liar because he said as long as they put together the pieces and I have the best chance to win
point.
Here. If you know what I mean?
Yeah. If he won an NBA championship here and he's still left, well. You wanted to play for a winner. You got a winner here. What else? I mean, and you said all these nice things about Milwaukee, about wanting to stay here, and you love Milwaukee.
Right.
And you left.
Like,
I guess, you were lying to us the whole time.
Right. Like, I'll maybe get killed for this, but if they don't win a title the next 2 years and, Middleton struggles in the playoffs and Bledsoe continues to dribble into double teams and can't find his shot and it goes on for 2 years and he leaves, I wouldn't really blame him because now your legacy's all on titles. Like, look at LeBron James. He had to leave Cleveland. But if they win and he left, then I would boo the hell out of him, and I would lose a lot of respect because he says as long as they build a contender and they give me the pieces, I'm going to stay in Milwaukee. Like, that's why the thing about Anthony Davis, I kind of felt bad for New Orleans because in that market, they tried to build a winner around him. They went out and got him Boogie Cousins, but then Boogie Cousins tore his ACL and didn't, miss the playoffs that year. But still, like, it's all about legacy and winning titles. I think Giannis is that old school mentality like Kobe had, like Jordan had, where he doesn't want to gang up with these guys. He wants to beat these guys, and that's a good thing. Kind of like Kawhi Leonard as well.
Here's the problem, what I don't like about this NBA free agency. It gets beat to death. Anthony Davis last year, beat to death, that story. Where's LeBron going? God, we were talking that for two or three years. Where is he going to end up? And it's exhausting. And now it's going to be that way with Giannis nationally. I mean, we do it here to a certain extent, but nationally, I mean, Los Angeles, like you were mentioning, Bart, they were having a field day with it yesterday. I mean, that's what we do. We beat these things to death. And, I think Giannis probably already knows where he's going to go or where he's going to end up. He probably knows. He knows himself if he's going to stay here or not.
414-799-1250. 414-799-1250. Jim is in Mequon. Morning, Jim.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
Hey, Jim.
Good morning. Hey, I don't pretend to completely understand NBA free agency. I don't know if anybody does, but I remember when Sabathia was in Milwaukee and the rumblings that he really kind of liked the town and liked the organization and wanted to stay here. And there was immense pressure from the Players Association for him to take that Yankee contract. And again, at the end of the day, I don't know that he was ever going to stay in Milwaukee. But I do remember the talk about that because essentially what it did was it raised the bar for the entire league. And I know the economics are different, but I wonder whether you wouldn't see a certain amount of that with Giannis too. Because if he does sign, an incredibly rich deal, how does that affect the market for all the other free agents?
Do you think, and I wonder this, now if David Stern, not David Stearns, the late David Stern, the NBA commissioner. If he was still commissioner, you think David wouldn't be talking to Giannis' agent and say, we kind of like to have Giannis in New York. And because New York has been bad, the NBA wants New York to be good so bad. And the Knicks can't get out of their own way. Their poor ownership with Dolan there.
If they wanted New York to be good, they'd force Dolan out.
Yeah. Well, they should. But they want.
Thanks,
but
Jim.
But they want New York to be good. They want New York to be good, but if David Stern, I'm just saying, if Stern was commissioner, I think he, he controlled everything, and I don't think Adam Silver's quite like that, but Stern, he would be. Oh, let's get Giannis to New York, let's get him in New York, and somehow find a way to pay him under the table or whatever. But I think he'd find a way to just talk Giannis to go to New York. I don't trust anything the late David Stern did as commissioner. Okay? I mean, I didn't. I hate to speak ill of the guy's dead, but man, I didn't trust anything he did.
You're just throwing out a lot of wild accusations today.
Well, a lot of them come true.
Stern would pay under the table to get Giannis in New York.
Stern doesn't have any money. Stern, maybe.
You called Maryville a war zone today?
It's horrible. Awful area. Yeah.
I mean.
It's fact.
No, it's not. I've never been there.
Awful area.
I'm assuming it's not a war zone.
It's not like Bosnia.
If I'm telling you it's a bad area, it's a bad area.
414-799-1250.
Chuck and Bud. That's the name of our team, and they will win. With an effort supreme, because they broadcast the professional way, and that's why we are Chuck and Bud.
The most polarizing man in Milwaukee radio. It's Singing Dick. What's up?
Hey, you guys just got to quit worrying about the Brewers, because they are going to come together, and we're taking it all this year, all right? The Bucks are a hot topic, really big hot topic. They're going all the way, both of them. It's going to be unbelievable. 90 grand. It's
Dick, what are you doing?
You can't swear. Come on.
Dick,
you got to.
That's the ban. Lifetime, too. I was actually considering the lifetime ban.
I mean, some of these guys you like think are pretty smart.
Come on.
Okay, but you know you can't say that word on the radio. It wasn't like it slipped out either. You can't say that.
I'm not getting this call because then they call and apologize to me, and I do not accept these apologies.
No, in fact, because you shouldn't be smarter than that.
You're right.
I mean, not you. I'm saying the callers.
No, I didn't even want to do that regardless of what was going to go on because the songs make me want to bash my head into the wall personally.
Oh, come on. It's Singing Dick.
Yeah, no. Check my Twitter. I just put out a fire tweet about Singing Dick.
Oh, man. All right.
I thought it was Swinging Dick. Is Singing Dick? I thought you said SW.
I don't know if I can say that.
Okay. I thought that you were saying the whole time.
Singing.
Now he's SW.
Singing. Swearing Dick.
Yeah.
It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins on the Fan.
All right, guys. Q Club of Wisconsin going to have the games on this weekend. They have all your favorite. They have the game on tonight, man. Get into the Q Club of Wisconsin at Waukesha's Great North Side. You can enjoy all your favorite sports on all the TVs. Catch all the games, plus your favorite indoor games on their huge entertainment room. They got the pool tables. They got the tornado foosball going on, shuffleboard, electronic darts, ping pong, and a whole lot more. And the extensive food menu. Hey, what's a great sports bar? Well, you got to have sports on all the TVs. They got the entertainment room, which is also a bonus to that place. But the award-winning menu, the awesome burgers, the wraps, the award-winning fish fries, Wednesday and Friday nights, your choice of four different styles piled high with all the extras. The happy hours, those are daily from 3 to 7. At the Q Club, they got the late-night happy hour on Friday nights starting at 10 o'clock. If you like bands, you like live entertainment, on most weekends, they got live entertainment there. Just got to go to their Facebook page, see when they're coming and who's coming to the Q Club of Wisconsin on Waukesha's Great North Side. It's Frames' favorite sports bar. Love the place. Good food. Try the homemade pizzas as well. Where's the Q Club? 2454 North Grandview Boulevard. It's a half mile south of I-94. Get off on the Highway T exit, east or westbound. Highway T turns into Grandview, and there you go. Visit them online, qclub@wi.com or on Facebook. But guys, you want the huge entertainment room while you're watching the game, plus the fish fries on Wednesday and Friday night, and all the good food, the burgers, the apps, and I mentioned the pizzas. It's the Q Club of Wisconsin, Waukesha's Great North Side, 2454 North Grandview Boulevard.
Hey, would you ever leave Milwaukee if the Lakers came calling?
To be honest with you, no way.
How come?
I like finishing the stuff that I have in it with Milwaukee. My goal is to win in Milwaukee, bring a championship in the city, and make the team a lot better. So I will never leave for LA.
Giannis Antetokounmpo. That was him on Colin Cowherd's show a couple years ago, promoting the release of then NBA 2K19.
Antetokounmpo
said he would never leave for LA. This week, he happened to say he'd love to play with his brothers somewhere, whether that's Milwaukee or L.A. or wherever. Now, I feel like he said that because Kostas is in L.A. And so he just wanted to give a shout-out to his brother. That's what I feel. Would I feel better if he didn't say it at all? Absolutely. But I'm not too alarmed by it at this point. 414-799-1250. We will talk to John Horst at 845, Bucks general manager. We'll ask him Giannis questions. I don't know what he's going to want to say with him being fined this summer.
What about if a crappy team said to him, like the Sacramento Kings, okay, let's say the Sacramento Kings said, Giannis, if you come to play for us, we'll also sign Thanasis and Kostas, okay?
And draft Alex.
So we'll have four Antetokounmpos on the team, and we'll put whoever you want in the starting lineup.
So your four brothers can start every night.
We'll go with the Antetokounmpos, and we'll change our franchise to the Sacramento Antetokounmpos.
Yeah, I'd probably go, man.
Would you go?
Yeah, I would.
The four Winkler brothers.
Oh, absolutely. We would never score a point, much less win a game.
You could have the four Winkler brothers doing a radio show.
Absolutely. 414-799-1250. Martinez is in Port Washington. What's up, Martinez?
What's up? Y'all can hear me clear?
Oh God, you sound so good.
Okay, good, because I got headphones in. I got to try to call y'all more. First of all, after the comments he said about L.A., I don't think that he's going to go. I think Giannis is still naive to the media stuff. They, like, baited him with that question, like, would you, play with your brother? And they knew he had a brother in L.A., so they was like, well, he's going to answer this question. We can use a soundbite saying Giannis would go to L.A. You know, it's just a bunch of bull. But now I'm going to go to the other side. Now, all this stuff Giannis said, he wants to stay in Milwaukee. He wanted to win a championship. He wanted his name up there. Now, if he leaves and goes to a big market like L.A. or New York, then he would be the most hated person ever in the state of Wisconsin, because Bucks fans, we don't really get much. You know, we get players that we know that don't want to be here. They just here because they got traded here or got drafted, and then they thinking about leaving.
Guys, come on.
God, again?
What are we doing? We're dumb. What are we doing?
I mean, do we take any more calls today?
Are we just that? Are we like that?
Well, you guys know my favorite shows, The Rules.
Well, we got back-to-back Patrick, callers of guys who've dropped that swear
word. Parkins and McNeil, they don't take calls. Mm. I'm done with them today. If you guys want to screen those, you can. That's my guy, too, so I don't want to give the
I don't want to give
the lifetime ban to Martinez.
No, and I know you guys don't mean to do it on purpose. Are we just so comfortable
to talk to? Talk to us like you would talk to your priest or your pastor. You wouldn't swear that way in front of either one of those guys. But, come on.
Every time
you should know better.
Every time Timmy from Fredonia calls, he reminds me three times that he won't swear. Because sometimes he teeters the edge, though.
No, he never has.
I'm like, I don't know that we could say that, but it's not.
Tim, I don't know if I can put you on the air.
Yeah, hey, Tim, you're going to be all right.
You can, guys. I thought I had it. Oh, my God.
Yeah, you're a client now. You better not swear.
Hey, Tim.
These guys putting me to shame, guys. Jesus. I mean, yeah, I swear all the time, but I wouldn't do it on the air. I have 20 years experience behind the mic. I think I've learned my lesson not to do that. I mean, you got to have a little self control, you know. And Jesus.
Yeah, you're like the Ray Clay of Wisconsin, we forget.
And now.
Exactly.
Well, what's up?
So go ahead, Tim.
Milwaukee Bucks.
What the hell's going on?
Tim.
820. Well, Chuck's.
I'd rather you start swearing if this is where the call's going.
No. Hey, I don't think he's going anywhere, guys. I've told you guys in the past that he's a down home guy. He remembers where he came from. He doesn't need the limelight. I don't think he likes the limelight. He likes to win. And if winning's here and they're doing fine, I don't think he would change up. He's got a brand new baby now. If brothers go to high school, he would be at the last ones in there. And at the end of the day, like Giannis always says, I mean, it's not about the money. It's about winning. As long as we're winning, I think we're good. I don't know what your guys take on it. Chuck, what do you think?
I think he's staying. I think he is staying. I can only believe what he says until he says that he's going to test the market. If he comes out and says, well, I'm going to test free agency. Guys, I don't want to talk about it now, but I'm just going to keep all my options open. Then I get a little skittish about it, but everything tells me that he's staying in Milwaukee. And I want to win this NBA championship first. And I, you know, this whole role of, you know, going down this road of whether Giannis is leaving or not, I mean, it's, you know, it's kind of a distraction along the way to winning an NBA title, which I really want them to do this year.
How, like, now that the All-Star game's passed, there's 28 games left in the regular season. Bucks put out a hype video last night, says, oh, you say the regular season doesn't matter. We've got 28 to go. How nervous are you starting to get? Because they have to win the title this year.
You mean nervous for how they're going to do in the playoffs?
Yes.
No, I'm not nervous. No, I'm not.
I'm getting pretty nervous.
You're taking a fearful attitude.
Well, that I'm a fearful guy. I'm nervous.
No, I'm not.
I mean, I'm the kind of guy that if there is a 1% chance that the Vikings could beat the Packers to go to the Super Bowl, I'd rather not play them, even if there was a 99% chance the Packers get in. I talked about this with my wife the other night. This is just my mentality.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so much more afraid of losing than I am hopeful of winning in any aspect in life. Now, that doesn't make me a loser. I just hate to lose so much. I hate to feel pain so much that I would rather avoid the chance to feel joy.
Well, it's like if we bet on a team, us three guys.
I didn't have to feel pain.
It's almost like if our team, when you win a bet, it's almost like, oh, thank God I didn't lose. Thank God I didn't go 1-3 today. And I ended up going 2-2, which 2-2 on a betting Thursday night seems like a good proposition sometimes. Just breaking even. But, you know, I'm not fearful at all. No, I think this team is good enough. The only time I'll feel fearful about it is if they're down 0-2 or 0-3 in a series, having to go on the road, and they're in some trouble. But, you know, I felt good. You know, even like last year, Bart, was there a time in that series when, you know, they got off the 2-0 lead, they lost game 3, lost game 4, was back to even after losing those games to Toronto. Did you think it's over? It's sliding. Were you fearful at that point, or were you thinking, damn, I think they're still going to win this series?
No, I was worried as soon as the Bucks did not win game 3.
You were? Okay.
Because the Bucks went to overtime in that game, if I remember right.
Because you had been very confident about the Bucks not losing a series.
Very confident.
But then once they lost the game,
I probably said they'd sweep Toronto.
Well, I don't remember what you said. I don't remember.
I got to stop guaranteeing sweeps in the NBA playoffs.
I think we both predicted the
That's
Bucks
a
were
mistake.
Gonna, I think we predicted the Bucks were going to win a series, but
I think I said 5.
Yeah, I think I said 5 or 6-2. But so you after the Bucks lost game 3.
Well, because the narrative the next day was, remember, because there was some foul trouble that the Bucks dealt with. Well, if we can take them to overtime and we had all this foul trouble, I mean, the game 4 should be a breeze. And I thought, no. What you did here was you let the Raptors believe, and then Fred VanVleet had a baby, and then he shot like Steph Curry, and Kawhi Leonard went into lockdown mode, and the Raptors won that series.
When they were up by 15 in game 6, third quarter. And they played really good in the first quarter. They came out and established control that game. But when they're up 15 in the third quarter, are you feeling better or are you thinking, uh-oh?
My fear of losing overtook my hope of winning.
Okay.
As it always does.
This sounds stupid. I tried to do this on the morning show and like put together these graphs. And, you know, some things just don't go over well as radio. Like, I had this whole segment of why I'd be concerned. Maybe
you tried to show graphs on the radio?
Well, no, I tried to, like, talk about this like, about how bad the Bucks beat up on teams, right? And, like, 20 years ago, the teams that dominated the regular season always won the championship. But the last 10 years, that hasn't been the case. Teams that are beating teams by this margin of victory, I think like 7 of 19 teams ended up actually winning the title. A couple of these teams, though, there were some injuries, like the Derek Rose year where the Bulls won 60 games with Tom Thibodeau. He tears his ACL in the first round of the playoff series, and they ended up losing to Philadelphia. But see, what scares me a little bit is like the Bucks do this thing, and this this is just really like reaching here. But what does concern me about the Bucks beating up on teams and Giannis only playing 30 minutes is how many times do we see the Bucks come out flat and then they just turn it out in the third quarter and blow teams out, or vice versa? You know, they come out and blow a team out in the first half, and then let them back in.
Yeah, that was to KJ's point a couple of weeks ago. He wants closer games.
No, I don't want the closer games. I just don't like, then come playoff time, you can't have that mentality, because the playoffs are a whole other beast, because you shorten up your rotation. Everybody defends. So if a guy's a crappy defender like a Nico Mirotic, he sits on the bench then in the fourth quarter of these games. So I just want them to have that mentality that you go out there and you dominate for four quarters. I know basketball is a game of runs. The NBA is a whole other beast. This isn't college hoops or high school hoops where you beat everybody by 30. But I feel like almost that's what happened against Toronto, is you go up 2-0 and you almost got a little complacent in some of these games because you think, hey, we could just make a run in the third or fourth quarter. Playoffs, it's a lot tougher to do that, especially when you're playing against a team like Toronto that has a guy like Kawhi Leonard that was the best player in the playoffs.
Yeah, but this team is playing such good basketball. There's very, very few weaknesses on this team. I mean, you can't nitpick this team at all, even. And that's hard to say. I mean, because usually, I mean, how often can we say that about one of our sports teams? But this team, you know, they've been motoring along, you know, along with full strength, even without Giannis, except for the game in Indiana. You know, they go out and play strong. They have a good transition offense, defense, everything is going well. So, you know, back to what you said last year, Bart, you know, you said last year you didn't see anybody beating this team four times. I think definitely that more so this year, because they've been so dominating this year. How could any team beat them four times in a seven-game series? I'm talking about anybody.
John Horst, 8:45, Bucks general manager. We'll talk to him then. Matt Velasquez to join us after that. We'll talk some Badgers as well. Ben Wergel, 9:30. It's Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins, here on The Fan.
Sports Flash, right now.
Chuck and Winkler, served up by Perkins Restaurant and Bakeries. Bucks general manager John Horst in about 10 minutes here on The Fan. We'll have Matt Velasquez to talk Bucks with, Ben Wergel to talk Badgers, and then Bill Michaels in at 10 o'clock. Looks like a new collective bargaining agreement may be agreed upon in the NFL soon, and with it may come not just another regular season game, but another team added to the playoffs. The proposal would include adding a team to both conferences in the playoffs, so seven teams, which would mean only one team would get a bye, the number one seed, and Wild Card Weekend would see three games on Saturday, three games on Sunday. The two seed, as the Packers were this year, would have to play then the seventh seed. And so the Packers this year would have had to host the Rams, and then they would have gone from there. Baseball has talked about adding more teams. The NFL now wants to add more teams to the playoffs. The NBA wants to add this midseason tournament or whatever. And what's interesting in all of this is I don't see this conversation and these ideas starting with fans. All of a sudden, the commissioners of the sports just say, hey, you know what? We're going to add teams. And fans are like, what? There's not like an upswell of, hey, we want more games. Give us more games, guys. Now, if there were three games a day on Wild Card Weekend, Saturday and Sunday, absolutely, we would watch every single game.
We're watching the Saturday night meaningless game that they have there on
I mean, I'm watching
holidays.
The XFL, Chuck.
Yeah. Well,
watching
the XFL. But, I mean, it's not fans are saying, well, we want these extra playoff teams. You know, all this. The Rams got screwed. You know, they would have got in if you had a seventh team. No, we're not saying any of that. No, I think right now the format currently is fine.
Yeah, I don't want more teams.
I think it's great.
I don't want more games, but I'm not going to get all, you know, oh, we shouldn't have games, because I know if there's more games come January on that first weekend, I will be loving every minute of it.
But,
so,
okay,
even though I don't want it and I do think it's dumb, I know that once it happens, I'll be sucked into the boob tube with the rest of them.
But, Bart, okay, if they would have went to the expanded playoff format last year, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who were 8-8 with crappy quarterback play, they would have been fed to the Kansas City Chiefs on Wild Card Weekend. Okay? And all right, what sense does that make? I feel like to get in a postseason, in any postseason, you should be a good team. You should earn your way into the postseason. You know, a 500 record isn't a postseason. A seventh or an eighth seed team in the NBA playoffs most of the time is not a very good basketball team. The Detroit Pistons last year against the Bucks. You look at them, they got swept in a four-game series by the Bucks. That was a team, that Pistons team, that wasn't a deserving postseason team. I think, you know, postseason is something that you earn. You deserve that. The Brewers deserve to go to the postseason last year. They put on a great September, and they finished with 89 wins. Yeah, they deserve to go in the postseason. But an 8-8 Pittsburgh Steelers team, that doesn't deserve to be rewarded at all. They deserve to go home and start looking toward the NFL draft.
Now, had this been implemented over the last decade, you know, doing the research, there would have been no team worse than 8-8. So had they had seven teams in the playoffs in each conference all the way back to 2010, some 10-6 teams would have been added, some 9-7 teams would have been added, a handful of 8-8 teams would have been added. The Bears would have benefited a couple of times from this, the Steelers, but there would have been no 7-9 teams. So if you're adding this, what you're doing is taking maybe one more 10-6 team, one more 9-7 team, possibly another 8-8 team. And again, sure, the Rams and Packers, maybe it was a competitive, maybe it could have been a competitive game. Duck Hodges playing against Patrick Mahomes, I mean, there would have been no point for that other than to do why they want to do it and get more money in there. How would the playoffs been affected then? If these two seeds, you know, had to play another game, does that change things for how they would have done? A lot of times New England either gets a one or a two, and then they always bypass that first weekend. Would they have won as many Super Bowls as they would have won? Would the Packers won in 2010 if there was another team, the 10-6 Giants added to the mix? Would they have benefited by not having to play some of the teams that beat them in the playoffs? We don't know. I don't think there's a need for it. If you're going to be a league that wants safety, adding more games seems to be counterintuitive to that. But again, I'm not going to get on a high horse about it because I know that the year that it's added, if it is added, it could be this year. I'm watching all six games over the weekend, and I'm having the time of my life doing it. So I don't want it. I'm not demanding it. I'd prefer that they don't do it because I think it does oversaturate and it does water down the regular season importance. Sure, it makes the one seed a hell of a lot more important. You get a bye week. Nobody else does. But I know that weekend, yeah, I'm going to be on the air with you on that Friday and say, I can't believe it. Frizzle got six games this weekend.
Oh, yeah, of course. If the Rams are playing, well, of course we're watching the Rams and Packers, but if the Steelers are playing the Chiefs, you know, the Chiefs are probably a two-touchdown favorite. We're still watching the games. They like the playoffs this year. I thought the playoffs were great. You know, you had the Kansas City comebacks. You had Tennessee beating Baltimore in one of those playoff games. You had some great playoff matchups, man. I thought you had some really, really good and comebacks and a lot of drama and all that. And, you know, you had Houston, you know, their come-from-behind win. I thought that was great. You know, you up and down. But I think if you expand the playoffs, you have less intriguing matchups. Not that we're not going to watch it, but it's just, you know, it's just not as good. And you're rewarding, like I said, crappy teams. The only sport that I would love to see playoff expansion is college football, where you got 365 teams, yet only four teams make the postseason playoffs. So not counting the stupid bowl games, but the college football playoff, you got four teams. Let's expand that to eight. But the NFL, no, we don't need this many playoff teams. We don't. The format is fine the way it is. Don't need a 17th game. And don't need any of this. But from my understanding, from everything I'm reading, this likely is not going to take place in 2021 anyway. So we still have the 16-game season this coming season, 2020. The 2021 season is when they'd add the 17th game. But again, the players are meeting today by conference call, and let's see what they come back with as their proposal, because it sounds like they're going to agree to the 17th game, but they're going to want some more in addition to the more big of the pie, part of the pie that they're going to get.
It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. I got a message here from Dwayne. I'm going to read it. He says, hey, cool shout out. My girlfriend's son, Vincent Schmidt, qualified for the state 50-meter freestyle swim. He will swim in Madison Friday. Dwayne's like the one listener that didn't call in and swear today, so I will read that for Dwayne. I have no problem doing that. Dwayne's a very good man. It's Chuck and Winkler served up by Perkins. We'll talk to John Horse, Bucks GM. We'll do that next on the...
I think we definitely represent our organization in the city the right way. We all still think Pat got cheated last night. Being able to participate in the skills challenge was also, a great opportunity to show and represent the city of Milwaukee. What Giannis does night in and night out, not just during the regular season, but during the playoffs, the offseason, the summers, and then the All-Star weekend, how much he does for everybody. That's what it's about.
Chris Middleton talking at the NBA All-Star game in Chicago over the weekend, how well Milwaukee was represented. Chris Middleton, an All-Star. Giannis, of course, the team was named after him. Pat Connaughton in the dunk contest. Even Bango doing a good job getting a shout-out at the podium from Giannis. This is all put together under the brain trust of the Bucks front office, which includes their general manager, John Horst. And once again, he joins Chuck and Winkler. I'm Bart Winkler, Chuck Freeman, on the Great Midwest Bank Hotline. John, good to have you back. How are you?
Hi, John.
Hey, guys. Great. How are you?
We're doing great. You know, first on this Elam ending, do you see this ever getting into other sports as far as college basketball, maybe the NBA? Do you see this down the road? Or it sounds like it's going to happen again in the All-Star game, but even into the regular season or postseason down the road?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess you never say never, and that's one of the things I love about the NBA is the forward thinking of Commissioner Silver and the rest of the group and always trying different things. And I think everyone saw the competitive nature of the game at the end and the success that had. And so it doesn't feel like, as a more traditional guy, it doesn't feel like it fits in a regular season event, but who knows? But I know for an All-Star game, I thought it was really compelling and really added to the game.
Bucks general manager John Horst, you've put together a team here, 46-8. No trades made, obviously, but there was the pickup of Marvin Williams. With the, I guess, assets that you guys have, some of the players and that pick from the Pacers, do you feel, when you look at what you have in front of you, do you feel like you've done everything in your power to assemble a team that can win the NBA Finals in June? Are there moves that you wish you would have made? Do you wish you gave that pick away? Do you wish you did anything else? Or do you feel like you've done everything in your power to bring a winner back to Milwaukee?
Yeah, I think, roster building obviously is not a point in time. It's kind of a continuous effort. And I think if you look back at the day after we lost last year in the playoffs until today, the goal is to improve the team, to be better suited for a playoff run, to address some of our needs, to be positioned for success not only now but going forward. And I'm incredibly proud of the work that our group has done, the development that our coaches have done, the players, their development. And I think in my mind, there's no doubt that we're a better team than we were last year, that we're positioned to be a strong contender going forward in the future. And I know that we tried to do everything we possibly could to continue to improve this team, and incredibly happy with who we have. And you mentioned the pickup of Marvin Williams. That's a player that we've appreciated and liked and followed his career for a long time and really think that on the floor and off the floor was a guy that could plug into our system and fit incredibly well and really have an impact on our season the rest of the way. And so I think that was a great pickup for us, and we'll see how it all works out.
There's 28 games left in the regular season as we talk to you here. John Horst, Bucks general manager, joining us, Chuck and Winkler. Now, earlier in the season, I got some people mad at me because I say the blanket statement, this regular season doesn't matter. It's all about the playoffs. It's all about the finals for this team. And obviously that's a broad, very broadly painted statement. But what I'm thinking is, yeah, they might lose the other night to Indiana. They could win against the Pistons, whatever. We know that this Bucks team is good, and we know that in the playoffs, that's where it's going to matter. What has the regular season meant to you? Would you rather see games that are nail biters so that they can, execute and practice some scenarios that are going to come in the playoffs? Would you rather see them, as they are doing, constantly and consistently beat teams? Would you rather see the roster be experimented with for rotations and what's going to work in the playoffs? What are these 82 games, what are you hoping, with as good as this team is, what have you been hoping to get out of this portion of the season?
Bart, I think it's a mixed bag of all those things. If you really look at it, you want to position yourself to be one of the teams that's in contention, that has a chance to contend. And, part of the regular season is to see whether or not you've done that and to see if the product that you've put together and the group that plays together and is coached, if it fits and it works the way that you expect it would work. And, you know, we test that, we pressure test that with advanced metrics. We pressure test that with a lot of conversation with coaches and players and, you know, our ownership and everything. And so you pressure test that as much as you can. And if you look at our net margin, our offensive rating, our defensive rating, some of our advanced metrics against the best teams in the NBA, some of the things that we felt like we need to address in the offseason, if you kind of test all those things, it feels like we've improved and we're a better team. We're better suited for contention. I think you also want to be positioned in the playoffs. And so I don't think that at the end of the day, having the most wins is the most important thing, but being positioned for a great playoff run is important. So having a high seed, having home court advantage, those things matter. And then you want to experiment with rotations and you want to figure out different matchups and how you're going to fit against different teams that you think you could potentially be playing in the later parts of the playoffs. And I think we've been able to do that so far, and we're going to continue to work on that. But ultimately, you want to be playing well, you want to be healthy, and you want to have confidence in the group that you have going into this thing. And as we stand today, we're happy with where we're at. But again, I think we've said it a lot from every player to every coach to every time we've spoke. Our goal is to get better every single day. So our team genuinely and sincerely is focused on the Detroit Pistons tonight. They want to have a better effort tonight than they did last game, continue to improve each day. And when we get to the playoffs, be best prepared to advance and hopefully compete at the highest level.
You know, there's NBA teams out there that got a great player, but maybe aren't successful. Giannis is just a unique player. How do you know what parts to put around Giannis that are going to make him successful? Because obviously you've done that in the last couple of years. How do you know? What is that, analytics, the eye test? How do you know? Because Giannis being such that special type of player, what's going to work around him?
Hey Chuck, it's. I don't think you ever know. I think you do the best that you can, and you study all the things that you think matter. But I will say that we're incredibly fortunate and lucky and blessed to have a player like Giannis at the center of our franchise. To have him as a franchise player on the floor and off the floor really sets the tone for everything. He has such a unique skill set, but the way he plays, the things he brings to the game every day, the way he competes, he's going to make any player better in our system. And so then the goal and really the task is to find the guy that actually make him better and help him be a better player. And you know, we've obviously been heavily focused on shooting. We've been heavily focused on volume of shooting, guys that are willing to take shots and have the ability to make shots, players that have a high competitive nature, players that have high IQ so they can play off of him, you know, whether it be cutting or spacing. And then off the floor, it's just high character. It's you know, really dedicated individuals that are focused on winning and focused on team more than self. And I think he has some very, very clear benchmarks and standards that matter to him on and off the floor. And it really helps set the tone for what we look for. And we spend a lot of time being intentional trying to add those type of players to our team.
John Horst, Bucks general manager, Chuck and Winkler on the Fan, 105.7 FM, 1250 AM, and the free radio.com app. It's clear. You've made it clear what your intentions are with Giannis. You've had to pay to make those intentions. So a hypothetical for you as a general manager, when you have a hypothetical superstar up for a hypothetical supermatch, supermax contract, when he's available to sign it, do you give him that contract and stick it in his mailbox and expect it back the next day? Do you put it on a table in front of him and leave the room and kind of peer to make sure he's signing it? I mean, how much pressure do you put on to make sure as soon as it's available, it can be signed, hypothetically, of course?
Well, Bart, I mean, I love some of your questions. The great thing is we don't have to answer hypotheticals in our world. We can just deal with realities. There's a great rule in our league that you can't talk about or do anything that you can't execute. So luckily there's nothing to talk about or execute right now. And when that becomes available, luckily we're on the record, I think, of what we feel and how strongly we feel. And we're not going to discuss it anymore beyond that. And I think it's a great position to be in. The team is focused on getting better every day. Giannis is focused on getting better every day, maximizing the season and figuring out, you know, the future in the future when it comes to that. But a lot of the things that we do every single day is to create a culture of winning and an environment of winning and success to really be positioned for not only the ultimate success now, but long-term sustained success going forward. And so that's where we're at today, and I think we're going to continue to focus on that.
Have you spent any time at all planning for a plan B if the hypotheticals don't work out?
There's no plan B in these scenarios for us.
The plan B would be tear down Fiserv Forum.
Yeah.
How about that?
And rebuild the Bradley Center.
Hey, John, you know, this...
They have a great concert venue there. We have a lot of things going on there. It's really incredibly positive, so I don't think we want to tear that place down yet.
John, you know, the team has been so good. I mean, in dominating fashion, but, I mean, to get off to the type of start you have, and you got a handful of games left before the postseason, I mean, anything less than going to an NBA Finals has got to be a failure, don't you think? Because, I mean, we're all in on this team. This team is beating teams by an average of 12, 13 points a game, which is up there in NBA history. I mean, everything is set up for just a major run here, isn't it?
Yeah, I think we talked about all the ways that the team is better, that our players are better. I mean, I kind of listened to your guys' intro before we got on, and it's awesome to listen to Chris Middleton speak and listen to how he's matured and developed as a teammate and a professional, and now a two-time All-Star. You've got a guy that the last 15 games is averaging 25-7-5 and shooting over 50% from the field in three. I mean, we are positioned to have a great run this year, and that's the goal. The great thing about this team and our players, and it sounds cliche, and it almost sounds like something that you can't sustain, is they focus on every single day that they want. I promise you, our guys are not worried about making the NBA Finals right now. They want to beat the Detroit Pistons tonight, and they want to figure out how to do that, and they want to be better. And I truly believe if we take that approach, if you stay healthy, you have to have some breaks along the way, that we'll be in a position at the end of the year to contend, and that's what we want to do. We want to improve on last year. And so starts with Giannis and all of the great things that he's doing and statistically, you know, setting records and at historical level and averaging 30-5-5 and all the different things he does, and backed up by Chris and Eric's success and Brooke and on down. We have a great group of guys that are focused on the task at hand, and that task is really to get better every day.
And Middleton's got better over the last year, I want to say. I think he's really – I mean, you look at his numbers are terrific. He's a legitimate all-star again. But I thought from last year to this year, I see improvement in his game.
Chuck, it's unbelievable. Earlier on in the year, it's almost like sometimes you feel like you have to apologize for these guys because we do have a big margin in our victories, and they're not playing the major minutes that a lot of the all-stars are. So you have to go out there and really sell and make the case for some of these guys. And you know, I really think Eric should have been an all-star. And if the guy's playing 28 minutes a night, doing significant things. And, you know, thankfully, Chris, again, two-time All-Star. But it's funny, then you kind of go forward to these last 15 games, and it's really proven. You know, kind of Giannis missed a few games. Chris's minutes had went up, and he really pushed his minutes up above 30. And the guy's averaging 24-7-5. And so, Chris, there's no doubt Chris has improved over the last year. Chris has gotten better every single year. He's one of the guys that I think is really special in our league that just gets better every single year, no matter what his contract situation is, no matter what the team situation is. Chris Middleton just continues to become a better NBA player every year, and I really think he's a top 15 guy in our league.
Have you met baby Liam yet?
Yeah, I have. It's pretty fun. What a cute little kid, and what a great opportunity for Giannis to just have another experience in life. And he and Mariah, I know, are just kind of enjoying all of that and trying to figure out what it is to be a new parent. For those of us that have young kids, it's a different chapter in life, but kind of a special thing for Giannis and his family to experience right now, for sure.
Yeah, just remind Giannis over the next couple of years, there's great daycares in Milwaukee, there's great school systems in the Milwaukee area. So just remind him of that when you can.
Bart has one topic on this interview.
No, I'm just... Yeah.
He's fearful.
No,
Bart is fearful by nature that we're going to lose number 34 someday.
No, I had a baby 6 months ago. I want him to one day be Giannis's baby's friend. So that's my angle on this. John Horse, Bucks general manager, appreciate your time, and we hope to talk to you soon.
Thanks, John.
Thanks, guys.
John Horse, general manager of your Milwaukee Bucks.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.